You say you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
One trait that a productive young person must or should possess is a steadfast heart. There's no way around it. If you are going to obtain good success, if we are going to please God, I firmly believe we must have a steadfast heart. Matter of fact, I believe it so much. Say that with me. Say, I must have. Finish it. When a person is steadfast, it says a number of things about that person. But on this morning, I want us to learn just a few meanings. When a person has a steadfast heart, or when a person is steadfast, it says, first of all, that they are settled about an ideal or cause. They're to the point to where they're unchanging on what they believe. They are fixed or locked in. They cannot be persuaded to change from what they believe or from what they are doing. That person is steadfast. They're fixed. They are planted. They are rooted. They shall not be moved. Biblically, when you talk about someone being steadfast, notice it says that their thinking, speaking, and choices are in agreement with God's word. When my mind is steadfast on the word of God, or fixed on the word of God, I'm steadfast. When I refuse to talk doubt, when I refuse to talk negative, when I refuse to speak death, I'm being steadfast. When I'm to the point to where I'm determined to make the right choices, even if I mess up, even if I fall short and I repent and get back up and start choosing to do the right thing, you can say that I am being steadfast. I am in agreement with God's word. And that's how we need to be, young people. We need to be steadfast or in agreement with God's word. Are you with me? And we know the word comes in two forms. It's written and revealed. I don't care how much they talk about pandemic. They can prophesy and say things are going to get worse. But I'm steadfast in my conversation that better is here and bigger is coming. You can't change me on that. I'm fixed right there. I'm stuck right there. I'm steadfast. I don't care what they say. How many people are dying? How many people are getting? I'm not going there with you. I'm steadfast. That is my time. I'm steadfast to the point that I believe that Jesus still came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm unchanging. You're not going to move me. What about you? See, that's how we need to be. We need to be in agreement with God's word, whether it's written or whether it is revealed. And when you and I are like that, again, that says that we are steadfast. Now, notice in our text, Psalm 57 and 7, the psalmist says that his heart is steadfast. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My will, my mindset, I will not be moved. That's how we need to be, steadfast in heart. See, if you look closely at the church, and I'm talking about in a universal standpoint, you don't see most saints being steadfast. You see people being double-minded. You see people being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You see that in our day and time, young folk. Are y'all with me? See, we don't need to be like that. We need to have the mindset and the will that is fixed on the word of God. And when we're like that, again, it says that we are steadfast in heart. Now, we not only need to be steadfast in heart, but I want to drive home this point that the Spirit of God dealt with me about this week. We especially need to be steadfast in heart in life when things are not going the way we desire them to go. When you and I are not seeing with our natural eyes what we desire to see, that's when we sure enough need to be steadfast in heart. The Bible talks about a man by the name of Elisha, and it describes him as being steadfast in heart. This man was praying for rain, but the Bible says he saw nothing. And how many know there are times in life, young people, that you pray to God for certain things, but with your natural eyes, you see nothing. And see, that's where some of us are right now. You're not seeing what you desire to see in totality. And when it's like that, that's when you sure enough need to be steadfast in heart. Because the righteous don't walk by what they see. We walk by faith. Let me go ahead and just pause and ask anybody, have you ever prayed and asked God for something, but you weren't seeing what you were praying for? Lord, I'm believing you for this right here, but my eyes, I'm not seeing what I'm praying for. It's at least one or two of you in here, because God wouldn't told me to teach on this morning if you weren't here. You're seeing nothing, but don't let what you see move you. You're not seeing what you desire to see, but don't let that sway you to doubt an unchanging God. Don't let that deter you from standing on God's word. You be steadfast in heart, because there will be times in a leader's life, a minister's life, a single person's life, to where you're not seeing what you desire to see. Matter of fact, let's just go to the book of 1 Kings. Let me show it to you. Y'all go to 1 Kings chapter 18. I need to show it to you, because some of y'all are not getting it the way I thought you would get it. So let's go to 1 Kings 18, and let's look at what I just spoke about, Elisha. Go down to verse 42. Are y'all with me? All right. 1 Kings 18, 42, and we're going to look at just a couple of verses. Notice verse 42, 1 Kings 18. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. He done got in position to pray. Am I right? And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is, help me. There's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Isn't that amazing? The man was believing God for rain, and seven times he saw nothing. But Elijah was so steadfast in heart, he kept on praying. He kept on asking. How many know everyone that asks will receive? Everyone that seek will find. Everyone that knocks, it will be, help me, it will be open unto them. Elijah was steadfast in heart. And the Bible says, finally, on the seventh time, he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. It wasn't the great abundance of rain that he was expecting to be. But how many know God often starts in stages? He said, I see just something small happening. And so Elijah's mindset was like, oh, well, it's getting ready to happen. Get ready for the abundance of rain. Get ready for something big to happen. And I'm telling you, if you are steadfast in heart, you're going to go through a season of life to where you're not seeing what you desire to see. You're putting in applications, but not getting callbacks. You're looking for houses, but you're not finding the house. Don't be deterred by nothing. Just be steadfast in heart. See, there's somebody in here at the beginning of the year, you didn't have the job that you so desired. You went some months before it even happened. You went through months of seeing nothing. In fact, you worked somewhere that you really didn't want to be at permanently, but you were steadfast in heart. I know God gonna give me my heart's desire. I'm gonna keep praying. I'm gonna keep tithing. I'm gonna keep giving. And now you are actually in the place of abundance. You are at the place that you were believing God for. Somebody in here can testify that nothing don't last always. If you keep being steadfast in heart, God will give you the desires of your heart. So just be steadfast. Just be patient. Let patience have her perfect work. And when patience get through working on you, James said, you're going to be entire. You're going to be perfect, lacking nothing. You're not going to want for anything. Now, you could go ahead and do what you want to do. You could go ahead and make some moves on your own. But see, then you're going to miss out on the blessing of the Lord. And how many know we want the blessing of the Lord? The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. No sorrow comes with the blessing of the Lord. So just have up in your mind what Elijah went through. I'm just going to keep doing what God told me to do. I'm going to be steadfast in heart because I know nothing don't last always. How many know we like to say trouble don't last always, but nothing don't last always either. But we'll go through seasons of experiencing nothing. All right. So just be steadfast in heart. Have your mind fixed that, look, I'm not going to move. I'm going to be just like them Hebrew boys. I'm not going to bow down. I know God is a deliverer. I know that God is able to bring us out of anything. And even though they got thrown in the fire, because of their steadfastness of heart, did God do exactly what they knew he could do? Yes. God does not change. You have to be steadfast in heart as a young person and as an adult. You have to be so stubborn when it comes to the will of God that I'm not going to move. I'm going to be just like Jacob. I'm not going anywhere. I know that God is going to do exactly what he said. Are y'all with me? Oh, Lord, I thought y'all would be more excited. Let's look at a couple of traits of a person that has a steadfast heart. All right. So I've established what it means to be steadfast, right? Let's look at two traits of a person with a steadfast heart. And then guess what? I'm going to be done. Yeah, I'm going to be done. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to look at verse number 57. Y'all turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse number 57. That's what the psalmist said. My heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. So what do I need to leave here demonstrating if I have a steadfast heart? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 57. Y'all with me? All right. Notice, if you will, verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15. All right. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Notice what Paul said. He says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So where does victory come from? Jesus Christ. And breaking it on down, our victory comes from faith in Jesus Christ. See, the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. So if I'm going to have the victory, I have to have faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Breaking that on down, having faith in the word, because Jesus is the word, right? Can we break it down? So if I got the victory, it says I'm having faith in the word of God. Y'all with me? Okay, let's go on. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Let's try that again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Look at this next word. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, when a person has a steadfast heart, it says about them they have a knowing. You got a knowing of victory. You got a knowing that you're winning. You got a knowing that all things are going to work together for your good. You know it. You have possessed knowledge. You have understanding. And your knowledge or your knowing is not based upon natural means. See, our victory, young people, cannot be based on a college degree. Our victory cannot be based upon the wage you get paid on your job. Our victory has to be in knowing the word of God. That's why he said, you know that your labor, your working of your faith is not in vain. See, you have and I have to be to the point to where whenever we are believing God for something, it's not what the world calls blind faith. No. Our faith includes knowledge. You know that when you put your faith into action, it's going to produce something. Right? You check out Hebrews, and it talked about how the elders, by faith, they did certain things. Faith produces results. And you have to know that. When you see nothing or things are not going the way you desire, in your life, you have to have a knowing, hey, this is just temporary. What I see is only, it's temporary. I'm not looking at that. What I'm going through is only, it's temporary. I know I got the victory. I know God did not ordain for me to stay at the bottom. I know God did not ordain for me to be the tail forever. When he said in his word, he want me to live above only. Now, he'll allow me to be the tail. He'll allow me to be low, but he'll exalt me. He'll cause me to get to a place that I have never been before. He'll cause me to enter into the promised land. He'll cause me to have what eyes have not seen and what ears have never, ever heard. But I got to be steadfast, and I got to know I got the victory. Wherever you are in life right now, you got to know you win. You got to know you win. You got to know that you are blessed. Even though you look like you ain't blessed, you got to know, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I am blessed. I'm holy, I'm happy, and I'm prosperous. I'm blessed. May not have but $2 in my pocket. May have less than $2. Matter of fact, may have some headphones and some chapstick in my pocket, but I know I'm blessed. Yeah, I know I'm blessed. I know I'm blessed. You got to know it. You got to know you have the victory. I'm not going to always be in the projects. I'm not going to always be walking. I'm not going to always be without. I am an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. You have to know that you have the victory. Even when you're sick in your body. Don't be talking about, I got such and such. No, by his stripes, I am healed. I wasn't there, but I know by his stripes, I am healed. I'm not going to be talking about this cough. I'm not going to be talking about this sickness. It's not mine. I know by his stripes, I am healed. You got to know. Did you know that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? They don't know. You got to know. You got to know who you are. You got to know the will of God for your life. Because in all of that, that's where your victory is. That's where your victory is. Are you with me? So we have to have a knowing. You have to have a knowing. Secondly, let's go back to Psalm. Lord have mercy. See, if you've been walking around talking about something, I don't know, that's in a messed up place you are. You don't need to be in that place. Don't be talking about something, I don't know. I don't know. Something wrong. What's up, man? I don't know. I can't call it. But you need to be knowing, because that's where your victory is. The righteous are delivered by what they know or by knowledge. Knowing is powerful. Am I right about it? All right. Psalm 112. This is one of my favorite psalms. It's Psalm 112. Y'all need to read it one day. Read it one day. Because it's about a blessed man. That's what Psalm 112 is about. You need to read Psalm 112 on your own time. But today we're going to read verse 7. Okay? Today we're going to look at Psalm 112, verse 7. Ready? Remember, it's talking about a blessed man. It says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. Woo! Let's stop right there. He will not be afraid of what? Evil tidings, evil messages. See, when you bless, you don't care about evil messages. Yeah. When you are blessed of God, it don't matter what they're saying on the news. It don't matter about certain reports. No, you believe the report of God. Evil tidings. Y'all do know you have people that make money on spreading evil messages. I said you do know that, right? There are people that make hundreds of millions of dollars promoting fear. Promoting evil messages. But see, when you're blessed of God, you don't give ear to that. No, you don't give ear to that. Why? Let's finish the verse. Some of y'all didn't like that. Did I offend you? All right. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. See, when a person has a steadfast heart, according to this verse, they're trusting who? They're trusting the Lord. Yeah, I hear y'all talking about laying off, cutting hours, but I'm trusting the Lord. I'm not going to get fearful like y'all. I'm not going to get scared. I'm trusting the Lord. The Lord is in control of everything. How many know our God is omniscient? The earth is the Lord's, and the what? Fullness thereof. I believe that's Psalm 24 and 1. I'm trusting in the one who owns everything. I'm trusting in the one who can do anything. See, with men, certain things is impossible. But with our God, all things are possible. That's who I'm trusting. When you have a steadfast heart, you're trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. Well, they talking about interest rates going up. Well, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord that he's going to continue to guide me into all truth, and it's going to work out for me. Well, they're talking about we won't be able to go on vacation. Well, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm going to be able to go on vacation. It don't matter what they say. He done ordained for me to see this planet. I'm going to go on vacation. Why? I'm trusting the Lord. You know, some of my best vacation was during pandemic time this year. Yeah, it was. We was in North Carolina when the pandemic started. That was some of the best vacation we ever had. I mean, it wasn't nobody out. I mean, folk that was scared. I mean, it's just like all of the promised land was for us. It was like, come on, yeah, come spend that money over here. Some of my best vacation was when the world say it was the worst of times. And see, you experience stuff like that when you are trusting the Lord. You're trusting the Lord. Amen. A person that has a steadfast heart, according to this verse, what are they doing? They're trusting who? The Lord. But remember, they don't listen to evil messages. That's why some saints don't have a steadfast heart. They give ear to evil messages. Scared to turn the news off. Turn them evil messages off. If I get another text from a politician, oh my God, telling me how important it is for me to go out and support them. I don't want to hear that. They're a politician. They're going to lie. I'm not listening to that. I'm trusting in the Lord. But you know, you got some folk, they actually believe their salvation is in politicians. I don't believe that. The Bible teaches that salvation is of the Lord. Now, they're a good politician. There are some that I believe God has ordained and so forth, but I ain't giving more ear to nobody unless God tell me to. Because God is the only one that has complete power and authority. Do y'all agree with that? Yeah. So when a person has a steadfast heart, they're going to be hearing evil messages, but they are still trusting in the Lord. Let's look at this verse again. Y'all go back to it. Y'all not seeing it. Psalm 112. And 7. Read it together. Ready? He will not be what? Take your time. Of evil tidings. And what are tidings? Messages. Remember when the angel came to Mary about Jesus' birth? I bring to you glad tidings. Or I bring to you a good message. Right? But see, when you're blessed and in God's will, you're not going to be fearful of evil messages. Why? Finish it. His heart is steadfast. Come on, young folk. Trusting in the Lord. Everything that come on your TV is not gospel. Have a steadfast heart and trust in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. No matter what we deal with or face in life. That's how we have to be, especially young folk. Especially young folk. When you look in that Bible, you see so many young people that had a steadfast heart. They were trusting in the Lord. Joseph, one of my favorite Bible characters, Joseph. Steadfast in heart, constantly trusting in the Lord. His own brothers trying to kill him. I mean, they didn't want to hurt him. They wanted to kill him. And then it was one of his brothers said, no, we can't kill him. Let's just dig a pit for him and leave him there. And whatever happened to him, happened to him. But we don't want to kill him. Then he got sold into slavery, but he's still trusting in the Lord. Even through all of that, the Bible says he was a successful man. Thrown in jail, accused of rape, but still trusting in the Lord. God raised him up. I mean, raised him up to be second in command. And God brought to pass the dreams that he showed him when he was 17 years old. And you can just go on into the New Testament and you see young people that had a steadfast heart. They were trusting in the Lord. Likewise, when God look at the MSW, he need to see that we have a steadfast heart trusting in the Lord. Lord, I don't know what my parents are going through, but I'm just trusting you that your hand is going to be in it and you're going to work it out together for the good. Lord, I don't know what's going on in the world, but I'm trusting you that you're going to protect me. You're going to protect me, whether I'm at school or at home in front of the computer. You're going to look out for me. You're going to take care of me. I'm not going to talk doubt. I'm not going to talk crazy. I got a steadfast heart. You still going to bless me in 2020 and beyond, no matter what go down. That's a steadfast heart. How many understand what it means to have a steadfast heart? What are two traits of a person that has a steadfast heart? They have a knowing of victory, and they are trusting in the Lord. Let's give God a hand clap. I'm going to stop right there. No, if you ain't got it by now.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.